Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, June 8th. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ in many parts of the world and some U.S. dioceses. But in most of the United States, the feast is transferred to this coming Sunday, June 11th. Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director, will join us in hour number two at 7:30 Central with much more on the Feast of Corpus Christi. On Thursdays, I always take a brief moment to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, during this period of time, this Eucharistic revival that our bishops have called for, I try to visit the Blessed Sacrament today at some point if you can. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines on this Thursday morning?
Well, good news out of Rome. The Holy Father made it successfully through surgery yesterday. It was a 3-hour surgery, but things went well, according to Vatican officials, and he was up and joking afterward already. And so some very good news there. And, he's a revered Holy Father, but he's a very tough guy. He's 86 and seeming to go through this without problem.
No problem at all. In fact, Dr. Sergio Alfieri, the director of abdominal and endocrine sciences at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, said yesterday after the operation that it was successful and there were no complications or other pathologies discovered.
During the operation, we found an important connection between the bowel and the peritoneum. Now he's awake, he's fine, and he's already at work.
Dr. Alfieri was the same doctor who removed part of the Holy Father's colon back in 2021, and he said that the Holy Father was awake, alert, and even joking. Glenn, can you believe it? He actually joked, when will we do the third one? He was joking. So in good spirits, great news as you're reporting.
Yeah, it's great to hear, and imagine just relief getting through that and putting him in a little better mood to get through that as well, because it had been bothering him. So good news there, and we'll keep you updated. He's expected still to be hospitalized for several days, just as part of his general recovery. Elsewhere, my goodness, have you seen any of those pictures yet of the East Coast and New York City bathed in an orangey glow, hardly a glow. It was so thick, the worst air there since the 1960s, and some of the worst air around the world yesterday found in the Northeast, really right in New York City. All the smoke just blowing straight down from Canada, and wildfires burning many acres in Quebec there.
Yeah, Glenn, yeah, I did see it. It's quite historic, absolutely amazing. The air quality looked like Mars, orange. You could barely see the sun. And then this is something that's affecting nearly 100 million people in the eastern U.S. and, of course, in Canada, with more than a dozen states under air quality alerts yesterday. And it continues on today. Hopefully, it's going to improve a little bit. At one point, the Big Apple was listed as having the worst air quality in the world, worse than India or any other part of the world. In fact, the Yankees and Phillies game in Major League Baseball was postponed because of the air quality situation. So we've never seen anything like this. And people are wearing masks, not indoors, but actually outdoors, the old N95s that people wore during COVID.
You know, they're paying a lot of money for those baseball players to be in good condition. So I'm sure they don't want their prized players' lungs damaged being outside unnecessarily. So I mean, the games can wait until it gets a little bit more clear.
Of course. And it's not just the MLB players, but, kids were warned not to play outside. And even your pets could be affected. They said it was like the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes. And I heard one report. Somebody said that it didn't smell like burning wood. It smelled like somebody was smoking smoking a large cigar. Can you believe it?
Well, depends on the quality, perhaps. But yeah, not good there. So baseball canceled, but basketball marches on. Last night, the Denver Nuggets took a game in Miami. They're up 2-1 in that series now. Some incredible performances. MVP a couple times around, Nikola Jokic. What a performance, John. 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. One of two Nuggets who had triple doubles, which is just amazing. Jamal Murray the other. But the first time anybody in the NBA Finals had over 30 points, over 20 rebounds, and over 10 assists. And so just an amazing performance.
It was an amazing performance, historic. And here's a little bit of what it sounded like on ESPN and ABC Sports.
Jokic, the feed, and Christian Brown throws it down. Jokic double, pass inside to Green. Shot clock at two, Murray. Oh, Jamal Murray from downtown. Brown racing up the floor, goes right at Butler, leads in, shot is good. It's the Christian Brown show here in the fourth quarter. So they have two 30-point triple-doubles here in game three for the Nuggets.
Pretty amazing performance for the Joker and his partner, Jamal Murray, both with over 30 points, at least 10 boards and 10 assists. Just an incredible performance. I think the difference in that game was the rebounding. The Nuggets thoroughly dominating on the boards, 58-33 advantage over the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler had 28 for Miami in a losing effort, but Game four, Friday in Miami, and this is now a 2-1 series in favor of Denver as they are gunning for their first ever NBA championship.
Well, Nuggets got called out after game two when they lost that one to Miami in Denver by their coach, and they seemed to respond. He complained about effort, and good effort last night as well. How about this for an effort at humor before we can move on with the real show, guys? There was a chicken truck that tipped over in Fresno County, California. Now, the driver was okay, but it was a big rig, and it tipped over, and some of the crates fell out and landed on the road, which brings up the opportunity to give you my favorite why did the chicken cross the road joke this morning.
All right, and let's hear it.
Okay, all right. Why did the chicken cross the playground?
I don't know.
All right, he crossed the playground to get to the other slide.
Oh, there it is.
My work here is done. You guys carry
cha-ching. I love it. All right, thanks, Glenda. Thank you for working in some chicken humor here this morning.
Anytime, John, anytime. My neighbors have chickens. I could work a chicken into the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Glenn and Sarah. We always begin every morning in prayer. First things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on this show when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can find us on social media on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And, of course, you can always shoot us an email directly if you have any thoughts or story ideas. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, summer is definitely here, and that usually means family and friends getting together to enjoy some nice weather and some good food on the grills. Nothing like burgers on the grill during the summertime. But some folks hesitate to invite people to their homes because they think it's just too much work. Their house is just too messy or chaotic, or they worry about what others might think about them. And that doesn't have to be the case. We're joined live this morning by Morning Air contributor Marge Fenelon to talk about hospitality. And she's going to share three things to remember when considering having guests over. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a Catholic media personality, as well as a life coach. She's the author of several books, including Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, and My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena. Good morning, Marge. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again, and I love this topic.
Good morning. I'm still chuckling over Glenn's chicken jokes. I'm a sucker for a chicken joke. I am excited to talk about hospitality because it's something I learned the hard way. I always love to share the lessons in life that I've learned the hard way. Here's the scoop. Like you said, when you open this segment, you know, people think, well, if I invite people over, oh, then I have to clean the house and I don't have time. And all of these different
things. Oh, do I know that feeling, Mars? I'm telling you, I can't begin to tell you how many times, you know, we thought of having people over and I say to my wife, well, we gotta tidy up. I mean, this is not acceptable. We got to clean this house.
Oh, I bet you every household in America has gone through that. But too late.
My wife's response is, "Hey, we live here. You know, this is not, a house beautiful all the time. So, you know, there's always that argument."
Though we wish, huh? But I learned too late in life that it's more important to focus on the guests than the house. And I used to be, and I still like my house clean, but I used to be a real clean freak. And I couldn't have anybody over. The house had to be perfect. I'd stay up late into the night, believe it or not, the night before to make sure everything was perfect. And I don't know, the Lord changed my heart one day, and I started really thinking about this. And because I noticed that we were, as life got busier, and strangely, you know, when the kids were little, I thought that was the busiest time ever. I hate to tell new parents, but I think it gets worse when the kids get older. But I started thinking about this, and I realized this. A house is a building. So if you're inviting people over to your house, then you're going to be worrying about all those little details we just talked about. Is the food perfect? Is the house all clean? Is it, you know, what does our furniture look like? All of these different things that go through our heads. So a house is a building, but the home is the atmosphere. And so I started realizing, no, I want to invite people to my home and not worry so much about the house. So is it welcoming? Is it a pleasant place to be? Does it show that you are compassionate, loving people? Do you have a place? And I'm always advocating to have a prayer corner for our Lord and our Blessed Mother. But not that has to be in their face. But if it's there, you know that they're there too, There is a difference, I think, in going into a home that has that atmosphere. It's welcoming. It's, you know, that a faithful family lives there. And even if it's not a full family in the sense, maybe it's just a single person, but you can still do the same thing, is make that a welcoming home. You know, if guests are coming and your house is all perfect and the meal's all perfect, but you're all uptight, and
you—that's not good. Not good.
No, it's not good at all. And if you're—and this has happened to me. This is my younger self. I'd be so busy bustling around, making sure everything was just right, just right, just right, and you know, picking up after the kids and all of these things, and before long, it was time for the guests to go home, and I don't think they had a very good time, John. I mean, they enjoyed being there to a point, but it was tense, and it wasn't any fun. It wasn't relaxing. So they want to be welcomed. You know, when guests come, they want to be welcomed and appreciated. Just think how you would like to be. You know, really, when we think about it, And this is a question I'm posing to you, and maybe Sarah wants to, and Glenn want to offer. But when you go to somebody else's house, do you really look around to see how clean it is?
Sarah, what do you think?
You know what, Marge? I'm taking some notes because I want to learn from your mistakes, because I think we're both recovering from the same disease here, where of this perfect house image, you know, and maybe some of that can be, you know, stemmed back from just, you know, maybe how we were raised. Maybe our house was always very clean. Maybe that was a thing our parents emphasized. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, obviously wanting to have things in order and not making sure shoes are not what I like to call in the trip zone, so people can safely get in and out of exits and hallways properly and by stairs and stuff. But you're right. When I go to someone else's house and I see them, you know, hustling about, I'm like, I always want to say to them, hey, you know, you don't have to do that. I don't care about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yet when it's my house, I feel the need to be that same person. So we do need to like kind of recognize that in ourselves and say, look, calm down, because then you're not having fun and you're not being a true host, which is to, you know, relax and spend time with the guests, which is really why you wanted to have them over, to talk with them, to spend time with them, to break bread and have a drink and relax and not be worried about, you know, all these tiny little details, you know, that are going on, and just worrying about all this stuff. It kind of just overwhelms, you know, the point and the fun of having people over.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I don't know. Did Glenn? How is it for you? Do you ever notice that?
You know, when I'm at somebody else's house, excuse me, I'm not noticing that. But you know, you can get so much done in the last like 15 minutes before people come over. I find it to be good motivation to clean, actually. You know, but no, it is all about the people. As is like every interaction we have. The older you get, I think the more you appreciate that.
That is so funny, really, Glenn.
Is all about the people and not the things. But I use that necessary motivation to clean. So if you haven't invited anybody over for a while and you think you need the house cleaned, that's they kind of go hand in hand for us, I'd say.
Glenn, that is hilarious. I can relate. Hey, you talk about the last 15 minutes. I've been cleaning while the doorbell is ringing, literally.
Well, all you need is a laundry basket and just shove everything in that and then throw it in a closet and close the door and you're all set. It just, no one's going to play with those things anyways. Get rid of those things.
I'll get your coat. No need to go to the closet. Let me get your coat. Yeah.
All right,
don't
Marge.
Open that door.
I'm taking notes along with Sarah. I know you've got three fabulous ideas, three things to remember about hospitality. Let's have it.
Okay, so the first one we covered somewhat, and that is that there's a difference between a house and a home. House is the building. Home is the atmosphere. The second thing is the focus, as we were just saying, should be on the people. And so the point of getting together is getting together. You know, we use that phrase so often, you know, let's get together, want to come over for dinner, whatever it is. And the point is the getting together. It's not all the trappings that go around that. And the third thing is something, and Sarah, you can take a note on this one because it took me a long time to bring myself to this.
Okay, hold on my pen. I got it. Go ahead.
I got this. if I could just talk to my younger self. But before, as I extend the invitation, I just preface it with saying, you know, we're a simple family. This is a very simple family home. Everything is not going to be perfect, because I'm not perfect, but we want to enjoy company with you. We want you to come and spend time with us here in our home. And, you know, often, you know, I'll even say if at the time I can think of what I'm going to be serving is say, you know, we're just going to have so-and-so and this and that, and it'll be very nice and simple. And almost every time, the guest will make an offer to bring something. And I say, oh, no, I've got it. Well, I don't do that anymore. Be like, oh, yes, thank you. That would be great. Because then they also are engaged in the meal, and they're participating in the whole thing. And so those three things, I think, are absolute paramount to when you even consider hospitality. Because if we, unless we're Glenn, and we clean real fast right before, but unless we settle down and realize what is the focus here. I know one time we had a priest friend over for dinner, and I was so busy cleaning and running around, making everything perfect, And I was in my sweatpants and a dirty T-shirt, and I forgot to change before he came. So I answered the door in this outfit and only then realized that I'd totally forgotten to change. And I was so embarrassed, blubber, you know, oh, Father, I'm so, you know, and it's a priest, and I'm in sweatpants. And he said, and is there a problem? And it was the funniest thing because I never thought about that. He said, I'm here to see you and your family. And it was like, oh, wow. But it really dawned on me that it was like, even though it wasn't where we're not talking about house mess, but I was a mess, quite frankly. And it was, it's true. You know, people come to see us, not the house, not critique the meal. We're not inviting, unless you are inviting food critics over. But in any case, those are the three things I think that are just so essential, because we need contact. We need to hang out with each other and have those relationships. And those kinds of relationships are best fostered in person, face to face.
And so, Marge, the bottom line is it's about people. Hospitality is about people. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, during COVID, when nobody was coming over to visit other people, we really missed it. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. Now anybody can come over and we can invite, you know, our friends and family and loved ones for a little hospitality in our home.
Right, exactly. And it's home, not house. And so, you know, we've had people leave saying, wow, you know, I just really felt like I was, I'm thinking specifically of people who don't have their own family situations, but say, it was so nice to be part of a family. And that does my heart good, because that's the goal.
All right, Marge, here's a dumb question. Is it possible to have that home atmosphere, that homey feeling, and have a house beautiful at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. I have a friend who has literally, it's house beautiful, and she puts on these amazing gourmet meals with china and the whole bit, but she loves to do it. It's, for her, it's therapeutic. It's like I wouldn't say a hobby, it's a passion of hers. And yet when I go, I feel perfectly at home, because she just, it's just something that she does naturally. So yeah, it depends on how we view that. You know, if we're all haggard and harried and, you know, oh, it took me, you know, I'm so exhausted from cleaning, versus the way my friend is, where it's like, I really enjoyed doing this for you. That makes a big difference.
What about I'm so exhausted from cooking, where you spend the whole day in the kitchen and you're literally dead because you spent all day cooking and you have very little energy for the guests?
Oh, exactly. And that's the other side of it, because they're going to sense that. You can sense when someone's exhausted or just too tense to really enjoy. And it's not quite as relaxing. It's not quite as enjoyable.
John, these questions are getting extremely personal, I feel like. They sound like they're coming right from your house. I'm not sure one of you these are from, but they sound...
I can totally relate to... You know what? One more, you know, since Marge
since we got you on the line,
she's
Marge.
Our unofficial hospitality guru here this morning. I'm just curious. Okay, do you leave the TV on when the guests come over, or do you turn on beautiful music in the background? What's your take?
Wow. Neither, actually. unless I've forgotten, or one of the kids had switched it back on without me knowing, the TV goes off, and I think it'd be a great idea if you could play some nice music, but I never get to that point. I never think about it. So it's generally just a lot of chatter, and if it gets silent, then I always wish I'd turn some music on.
Well, Marge, this has been fascinating and very informative, and I really do appreciate your take. All of these things are really practical, and, you know, bottom line is that a house is a building, and a home is atmosphere, and that's what we want. We want to invite the folks over. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for the invite.
Many blessings. Marge Fenelon, award-winning author, internationally known speaker, popular Catholic media personality, life coach, and an expert in hospitality. We need to take a short break. When we come back, you'll meet Ramona Trevino, a former manager of Planned Parenthood Abortion Referral Facility and the current director of outreach for 40 Days for Life, who will share her powerful conversion story from pro-abortion to pro-life. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Thursday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Choose when you're up, when you're down, when you need a laugh, come around. Come on over, come on in, pull up a seat, take a load off your feet.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Thursday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 6, 55 and 56. Jesus the Lord said, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." These powerful verses from John 6 and the Bread of Life Discourse is what we believe as Catholics, that the Holy Eucharist is truly and substantially the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must ask the Lord for the desire to receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist daily, and especially when we celebrate Holy Communion this coming Sunday on the Solemnity of Corpus Christi. And let's pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as you know, here on Morning Air and on Relevant Radio overall, we provide a platform for the pro-life movement in this post-Roe world. Sometimes it may feel like the world is going upside down with all the attacks from the culture of death, but it's really important that we recognize that life is winning and that there is actually good news happening across our country. Like a former abortion worker number 250 that quit her job and became pro-life, and yet another abortion facility closed their doors forever thanks to the 40 Days for Life spring campaign. And that's the same campaign that saved 680 babies from abortion. Joining us live from Trenton, Texas is Ramona Trevino, the director of outreach for 40 Days for Life, to share her powerful conversion story and an update with some really good pro-life news. Ramona Trevino previously managed a Planned Parenthood abortion referral facility in Sherman, Texas. She left her position in 2011 following a transformative experience brought about by a 40 Days for Life campaign. Ramona has shared the miracle of her conversion and the goodness of Christ's mercy throughout the U.S. and internationally through speaking engagements as well as print broadcasts and online media. Ramona's a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. She's the author of Redeemed by Grace, A Catholic Woman's Journey to Planned Parenthood and Back. Good morning, Ramona. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you for the first time here on Morning Air.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Well, you know, Sean Carney, your boss, is a regular on this show, but we've never had a chance to chat with you live here, so this is really a joy.
Well, it's a joy for me to be on Relevant Radio and to be on your show because of the role that Catholic radio had also played in my life and my conversion. So it's a blessing. Thank you.
Well, I know that you have a very powerful conversion story and experience. And before we get to that, I wanted you to share some of the good news recently about the former abortion worker, number 250, mm-hmm. that quit her job and joined the pro-life movement. This is outstanding news. Can you share a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So I know that on our website, we have worker number 251. And so we hit that 250 milestone and then immediately hit the 251 milestone. So it's just, it's a beautiful and incredible victory because, you know, I think oftentimes we forget when we look at these numbers that they really represent real people, you know, real people, real souls, conversions. You know, I think about the fact that I'm included in that 250 number. And it's just, it blows my mind to think about, you know, not just what, you know, what happened with me and how life transformed for me, not because of, you know, the things that I've been able to do, but the conversion and the beauty that took place and God just bringing me back to Him. And so, you know, when I think about these numbers, you know, I think about how these women's or men's lives have changed and transformed. And, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about them out of, you know, just respect for their own privacy. But we do know that this latest number and this latest worker was from a blue state. So I think that also should, you know, bring hope to people when we think about, you know, where these people are leaving and where they're working, that it's not something that just happens in conservative states where it's, you know, where people would seemingly think, oh, this was, you know, it's easy to convert people in red states, you know. So, you know, this is happening everywhere across the country from coast to coast.
And Ramona, of course, you were one of those numbers in the past, along with other well-known folks like Abby Johnson, who also was a Planned Parenthood director. But I understand that this latest number 250 was not only a blue state, but one of the bluest of states from my home state here in Illinois, which has really become just an abortion haven in our country.
Correct. Yeah. Illinois, a state like Illinois. So, you know, I think, again, you know, if it can happen in Illinois, it can happen anywhere. So it just proves that God moves and He works and He's moving and working in even in places like Illinois.
I would love to hear your conversion story. If you could give us some of the highlights of what caused you to leave Planned Parenthood and the impact that 40 Days for Life had on you leaving the abortion industry and now today becoming really a pro-life voice for the voiceless, for the unborn, for the mothers, really a pro-life champion.
Yeah, so I mean, to give those highlights simply and quickly in the short amount of time that we have. I would start first with Catholic radio. I mean, it's incredible to me when I look back and I reflect about how, you know, on how it all transpired. And so Catholic radio was really that catalyst for everything, that set everything in motion and how God first grabbed my attention. And so that would happen in, you know, right before Christmas of 2010, I was just driving home, you know, after work and literally stumbled upon Catholic radio. And, you know, looking back, I'm like, this is the Holy Spirit, because I don't know about you, how many people listen to AM radio when they're, you know, flipping through the stations. I just switched over to the AM station and then stumbled on Catholic radio. And of course, the programming at that time, the subject matter was abortion. And so, you know, again, God's timing was perfect. That caught my attention and it just kind of set everything else in motion, you know, through not just the radio programming. So I became immediately addicted to listening Catholic radio. So I was listening to and from my drive home from work, you know, 3 days a week. We're open 3 days a week. We're a referral facility. And, you know, I think like so many people in this country, I justified abortion by saying, well, number one, it's legal. And two, it's not me. You know, this is another person's choice and they have a right to choose that. I didn't necessarily say, you know, I wasn't one of those people who championed abortion. I championed a woman's right to abortion, you know, like this is her choice. And you know, I knew that abortion ends the life of a human being. I just didn't ever really think of that human being.
Ramona, did you think that you were really helping women at that point?
Oh, of course. Of course. I thought I was helping women. And then quickly realized too, that these weren't women that I was helping. These were young girls. You know, I thought in my mind, you know, I was helping women, preventing them from being subjected to situations that I had experienced my own self. I had been in a very abusive relationship for many years, and I was a teen mom. So I had, I was pregnant at 16, had my daughter when I was 17 years old, and then, you know, was in a very abusive relationship with her father for many years before I finally found the courage to get out. And so I think, you know, oftentimes what happens is Satan capitalizes on our suffering. And I took that and used it for what I thought was, quote unquote, you know, the good of others, and trying to help prevent women from experiencing that type of situation in their own lives. And so I really thought that by advocating for that choice and, you know, putting these young girls on contraception was the answer to all their problems.
Now, it was obviously providential that you were listening to Catholic radio at that time. You were at least open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But how did 40 Days for Life become part of the equation?
Yeah. So this process of conversion lasted probably about almost 5 months. And, you know, where God was just opening my eyes and revealing more and more to me. And then, of course, you know, as it would all, you know, have to transpire, 40 Days for Life shows up, you know, outside of my facility. And I heard about them through Catholic radio. There was an advertisement that, you know, 40 Days for Life was going to be holding this peaceful and prayerful vigil outside of my facility. And I just thought, what? You know, like, it was a double take for me whenever I heard my location and my address. And I couldn't believe it. And first it was like, why are they going to be out here? You know, we don't even perform abortions. But it happened, and on the third day of the vigil, I walked out and asked for their prayers. I was going through a really difficult time, as anyone could imagine, when you're starting to recognize this truth, you know, this real truth in your life, and asking yourself, you know, what am I doing here? You know, what's going on? What have I chosen, right, for myself? And what have I been involved in? And yeah, so I walked out, I asked for prayers, and those prayers, I mean, it completely transformed my view on the power of prayer and my view on really seeing Christ in strangers.
Absolutely amazing the way that God works and has worked in your life. It was definitely a God incident, the fact that you were open and tuning into Catholic radio and the power of 40 Days for Life. And it's just a great example of why it's so important to reach out to these abortion clinics and the workers and pray outside the clinics.
Absolutely. And, you know, and then our yes to God, you know, that's the, what's really amazing too, is the man who led that campaign, that led that vigil, he had chickened out before of doing this, you know. And I think I can imagine it's kind of, you know, a little, daunting to take this on, but he had chickened out. And then I think also maybe questioned if it would be fruitful because it was a non-abortion facility. And so he eventually said yes to that tug on his heart. And then look at what transpired. Not only did I leave, not only was I converted as a result of the power of prayer and their outreach to me, but also after quitting and leaving my position, that facility shut down 3 months later permanently. And so that's, to me, just the most miraculous thing I've ever witnessed, is I never, apart from my own conversion of heart and transformation, I would have never imagined that facility would have shut down. And I think that's just a testament to the power of God and the power of prayer when we say yes to God and do and step out in this and step out in faith and trust. And so Divine Mercy had such an incredible role as well. When I was going through all of this at the end of the 40 Days for Life campaign, I was still at Planned Parenthood. It's not like something that just happened immediately, because I was struggling with how do I leave my job when I don't have another job in place, right? Because, you know, we're all adults. We have bills to pay. You know, I had a mortgage like everybody else, and I didn't have another job to go to. And this moment right after 40 Days ended, which was Divine Mercy Sunday, May 1st of 2011, I had no idea that it was Divine Mercy Sunday. I didn't even know anything about Divine Mercy Sunday. I'm sitting in Mass with my family, and I heard God very clearly speak to me during the consecration of Eucharist. And so that not only made me, this very strong advocate for life, but also a very strong advocate and believer in the Eucharist and all of the sacraments because of what happened during that time. And so during the consecration of the host, I heard God very clearly say to me, "Ramona, I forgive you. Have faith in me." I didn't know that was really the message of Divine Mercy. And so, until after the fact. And so when I left Mass that day with my family, I knew what God was asking me to do. And he was asking me to take this giant leap of faith and trust him. And I did. And my life hasn't been the same since.
Well, Ramona, we obviously want to pick up the story. We need to take a short break, pick it up on the other side. I also want to invite our listeners, if you're encouraged by some of the good news that is happening, the closing of abortion clinics and abortion workers quitting, if you agree that life is winning in America, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Ramona Trevino, the former manager of Planned Parenthood Abortion Referral Facility, the current director of outreach for 40 Days for Life. If you want to be part of our conversation, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break as we continue our discussion with Ramona. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. Is our number, 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of the conversation as we continue our discussion with Ramona Trevino, the former manager of a Planned Parenthood abortion referral facility and the current director of outreach for 40 Days for Life. She has an amazing conversion story. Ramona, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Ramona, before the break, you were talking about Divine Mercy and what an incredible role it had on your conversion experience from pro-abortion to pro-life. Could you ever have imagined in God's infinite wisdom and divine providence that one day you'd actually be working for 40 Days for Life?
No. I can answer that very quickly. No. Never imagined it. Never. I mean, as anyone who is listening, or for anyone listening, I mean, you can imagine the role that 40 Days for Life had in my conversion and helping me get out of the industry. But they're so near and dear to my heart, and have always been so near and dear to my heart. And so to now be working for them is just amazing. And only God can do, only God can write those kind of stories, right?
Well, no question about it. And Ramona, how has your life changed since those days at Planned Parenthood? Where are you today as you've been out there, you know, sharing your story across our country, even international, and obviously, you know, written a book and done countless interviews and just basically shouted from the rooftops of how God has worked in your life?
Yeah. Well, I know this may sound strange to people, but my life actually took a turn to just suffering, you know, real suffering, lots of trials in our personal life, in our family, and just things that we've been through over the last decade since I left Planned Parenthood. And I think it's been amazing to have gone through that because it has tested our faith. It has challenged us on our especially for me, just my commitment into my commitment to the words, "Jesus, I trust in you," through whatever it is that we've been through, whether it's, you know, health related or death and grief or financial, you know, situations and difficulties or whatever it may be that you face, you know, that we all face, you know, in life. it has been such a blessing to be able to bear a lot of these crosses in a different way than I used to, because prior, you know, at number one, I don't ever recall suffering the way that I did, you know, now. But I think it just shows, you know, just this gift that God is given me and given our family to be able to really understand what it means to lean on God and trust in God and watch God take care of you and provide for you in the most difficult times. So for me, that has been, I think, an incredible part of the journey.
Ramona, what goes through your mind when you see all these abortion clinics that are closing? In fact, something like almost 80% of all the clinics that existed back in the 90s don't even exist anymore. And just from 40 Days for Life alone, we're talking about 139 abortion facilities that have closed their doors forever. What do you think of when you hear this great news?
I think it's incredible, and I think it just gives us so much hope because we see the fruit of our prayers. And I think, you know, I think for a lot of people, sometimes, especially those who've been in this much longer than I have, and even some longer than I've been alive, you know, sometimes it can be challenging when we hear of, you know, we've had this amazing victory of the overturning of Roe, but we also know that the fight is far from over. But when we hear of these stories and we see the fruits of our prayers and our efforts, you know, these closures and people leaving and hearts being converted, it just gives us that shot in the arm to keep going.
No question about it. And you mentioned Roe v. Wade. Obviously, the anniversary is fastly coming up, the one-year anniversary later this month. There's going to be a big celebration in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Can you tell us a little bit about this National Celebrate Life Day rally?
Yeah. So on a personal note, June 24th is the birthday of my granddaughter. So our granddaughter was celebrating. We woke up to celebrate her second birthday. And so this is the granddaughter of the daughter that I had when I was a teen mom on June 24th. And so for me, that was just an amazing kiss from heaven. And so now I get to be at the National Celebrate Life Day rally on June 24th. It's going to be held in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we have, of course, this beautiful, wonderful lineup of speakers. Our wonderful Sean Carney, President and CEO of 40 Days for Life, is included in that. And then, you know, Lila Rose, Dr. Alveda King, Kristen Hawkins, Ryan Bomberg.
All of our friends. You know, all of our friends.
Yes, Michael knows. Like, it's going to be a wonderful day for us, not just to celebrate life and the victory that was the overturning of Roe, but also a rally to remind us that our work is far from over.
As a former Planned Parenthood employee, what did it mean for you to see Roe v. Wade overturned last year on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was powerful. You know, as anyone can imagine, you know, lots of tears, lots of emotion. I get choked up thinking about it now. You know, it's just, I don't know, for me, it was just an incredible moment of, it almost felt like just this beautiful affirmation from heaven, you know, that God is listening and he still loves us, you know, and he hasn't abandoned us. And so I felt, as you can imagine, all the array of emotions.
Well, there's no question. There's a lot of good news happening with 40 Days for Life, with your organization doing fantastic work. I believe you guys have now saved over 23,000 plus babies from abortion. Do you feel really good that the life, the tide really is turning, that life really is winning here in America?
Oh, yeah, of course. The life is winning and it has been winning, you know, and we know this is a spiritual battle, which is why, you know, we see the success that we see with 40 Days for Life, because when you're standing out there and you're praying and you're fasting for 40 days, you see results. And again, that's why I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. And I definitely have no doubt that the fruit that is born from as a result of the 40 Days for Life campaign is abundant. And
We'll have to leave it right there, Ramona. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. Ramona Trevino, the Director of Outreach for 40 Days for Life. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Strength of a Man by Jacqueline Griffiths. The strength of a man isn't seen in the width of his shoulders. It's seen in the width of his arms that encircle you. The strength of a man isn't in the deep tone of his voice. It's in the gentle words he whispers. The strength of a man isn't in how many buddies he has. It's how good a buddy he is with his kids. The strength of a man isn't in how respected he is at work. It's in how respected he is at home. The strength of a man isn't in how hard he hits. It's in how tender he touches. The strength of a man isn't in the hair on his chest. It's in his heart that lies within his chest. The strength of a man isn't in how many women he's loved. It's in can he be true to one woman. The strength of a man isn't in the weight he can lift. It's in the burdens he can carry. 1 Corinthians 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Brendan Gatta, the content creator for Trinity Road and the founder of Gotta Be Saints Apostolate, will join us to talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Father James Kabicki will talk about the solemnity of Corpus Christi. Stay with us. There is much more to come on this Thursday edition of Morning Air.